The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oi, Tessie, my hot. You have to move to a place with an elevator.
So, not even a hello?
I have to tell you, Bubbla, you saved me.
What are you talking about, Bernice? You're talking like a mashugana.
From the heavens you came, I tell you. Mark and Buffy are hosting the Passover Seder this year.
Oy, a shiksa Pesach. What's she serving? Cucumber sandwiches with a crust cut off?
Just don't eat a kreplach. Anyway, I had no idea what to bring them and the kids. And then I remembered you telling me all about Bubble Genius. I found this Afi Komen wrapped matzo.
Oh my god, how wonderful! And a little education for Buffy in the bargain.
And they can't complain. It'll get the kids in the tub, no problem.
Well, I don't want to say I told you so, but, you know.
We got you covered.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
This was not written for chiefs.
What's your reason for chiefs? What's your reason for chiefs? Well,
hear me. Hear this! Among my people, we carry many such words as this from many lands, many worlds. Many are equally good and are as well respected. But wherever we have gone, no words have said this thing of importance in quite this way. Look at these three words written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words proudly saying, we the people. That which you call Eid Plebnista was not written for the chiefs or the kings or the warriors or the rich or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries you have slurred the meaning out of the words, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution, these words and the words that follow were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Koms as well.
The Koms?
They must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
I do not fully understand.
Coming or going, you can be radioing. Radio.
Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob. That's Chez right over there.
Yep.
Representing the Yangs and the Kongs. The Kongs! Best thing about that is Shatner goes off for what seems like 2 hours explaining the Constitution and the meaning behind it. And the doofus' response at the very end, I do not fully understand. Love it. Makes me laugh out loud every single time. Yeah, we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. Go there, buy all of your soaps and all of your bath and body products from Bubble Genius. It's the best soap in the world. I swear to God it is. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Charles is easily the best attorney I've ever had. He's fast, he's smart, he knows how to communicate with you. The Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. It's thebowenlawgroup.com. Click the link on the podcast.
Firm ability.
Firm ability.
I also, am firmable. I have firm ability.
You're able to be firm.
I am able to be firm. Not quite as at the moment's notice as I could when I was, say, 22, but I can do it.
Without any pharmaceuticals?
Without any pharmaceuticals. A little more stroking. Just a little bit. A little more nipple play there. Requires a little more, but overall,
Hey, be sure to click on the BobSeska.com Amazon link. Why? Because if you shop at Amazon.com, you buy all of your stuff, you get a good discount, good rates on everything that you could possibly imagine. Plus, we get a small commission out of everything that you buy. It's a great way to support the show. Go there. The link is right under our logo at BobSeska.com. It says Amazon link. It's hard to miss. Click it and then go spend money on some stuff, and then we get a small piece of that. Thank you very much in advance. We're also brought to you by Chez's memoir. It's called Dead Star Twilight. Pick it up at deusexmalcontent.com or at amazon.com through the link, of course. All right. I guess we should talk about this breaking news that's happening as we're starting the show. Just as we're beginning the show, it came down that there's an active shooter situation at Fort Hood.
Fort Hood. Shelter in place.
KCEN-TV in Central Texas is reporting multiple people have been injured Wednesday in a second mass shooting at Fort Hood.
Jesus.
An official at the base said the post is on lockdown. KCEN reports that at least one person has been transported to an area hospital in an unknown condition and that several others are injured.
You know what's really important to keep in mind at a time like this, though? This really highlights how gun-free zones don't work.
Yeah. I mean, where are you going to find more good guys with guns than at an army base?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know what? I apologize. Seriously. There's no way I'm going to make any kind of political statement not knowing anything about it. Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't fall into that trap where, well, now's not the time. But when you don't know what's going on, it isn't the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's too soon to tell. We're not.
No,
neither of us.
I have absolutely no idea. So I apologize for making that statement.
We don't. No, don't worry about it.
No, I mean, I just I never miss out on the opportunity to make a really crappy joke.
Well, look, it's what we do. I mean, obviously, Fort Hood is loaded with good guys with guns.
It is, absolutely, of course. Yeah.
You know, Ronald Reagan was almost assassinated while surrounded by guys with Uzi submachine guns in their pockets. In November 2009, 13 people were killed and more than 30 others injured when Major Nidal Hassan opened fire on dozens of people at the base. Hassan was paralyzed during an exchange of gunfire and in late 2013 was sentenced to death. He is currently awaiting execution.
He is indeed.
So we got another one. So we'll see what happens. But probably by the time we post this podcast,
there'll be a lot more information.
A lot more, I'm sure. So I mean,
by then Wayne LaPierre will already have. No. They tend to the NRA tends to stay silent in the immediate aftermath of these shootings, and they just wait. You know, they know that there's nothing to be gained by it, but you know they'll come back. They always do.
Yeah.
They'll bounce. You know, they'll give it a couple of days and then have something huge to say.
And then, of course, within the next 6 hours or 6 minutes, perhaps. The right-wing blogosphere is going to go nuts regarding whether or not this is an act of terror and whether the president should condemn it as an act of terror.
Right. And if you bring up gun control, they'll say you're politicizing it. Don't politicize it.
Exactly.
Now is not the time.
So, I mean, barring any new information, and we don't really have it, and if Chez, if you happen to see something come down on Twitter or something during the course of the show, bring it up. But we just move on with a bucket of show.
Let's make stuff up. It's an alien attack. It turns out this was just a promo for Godzilla. It's a tie-in. It's a promotional tie-in for the movie.
Our I was just going to say our Dan Bedondi segments last week were quite popular.
I'm glad to hear it. Speaking of which, do we even need to say? Whatever this is that's happened, it doesn't even matter. Whatever's going on at Fort Hood right now, false flag.
False flag.
False flag.
Absolutely.
That you can be assured of. Count down the minutes till InfoWars puts up the post about a false flag attack.
Yeah, sure. To distract from the Obamacare numbers being cooked.
That's right.
Dan,
I got information. It's a false flag.
Dan Bedondi's booking his airplane tickets right now.
Yep. Got to make sure he's there. He's there in time for the presser, for the first presser.
I want to buy a ticket to the one-way ticket on to Fort Hood. From Rhode Island to Fort Hood.
That was truly, honestly, your impression. God bless you for that.
And I promised myself I wasn't going to do it again this week.
Oh, no, dude, it's awesome. Are you kidding me? I'd do that every week if I were you. I'd do the entire show that way.
Yeah, you know, we were listening to the show. Joy was listening to it. And she right at that moment when you said we should do an entire show in our Dan Bedondi voices, she stopped the recording and said, you better not do that. Because it would be so annoying.
Right. Yes, it would. All right. Please turn that down. My daughter's here today. So
oh,
it's
yeah, that's right. Inara's in town. I got to break out her music here.
Yep.
So she's in the background. She's playing games.
Yeah, she's watching SpongeBob and playing with the iPad. So, yeah.
When I first dialed you up on the satellite connection here that we have, the ruckus was insane. It sounded like about 1,000 marbles on a hardwood floor. Was that exactly what it was?
It was just one marble, actually. Because we got this thing from her grandparents that's like, it's like this Rube Goldberg machine where you drop the, you know.
It was like Mousetrap.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Waiting to see how much louder SpongeBob gets before I have to go over there and turn it down a little bit.
All right. Well, so, I mean, it's just one. I was going to say for a second there before you explain the Rube Goldberg thing. I was like, one marble. What's the fun in that?
Right. No, there are a bunch of marbles. There's like, I think we got like 10 of them.
All right. So the other big news of the day was obviously this McCutcheon Supreme Court decision.
Yes.
And I mean, it's infuriating. It's infuriating for a number of reasons. The first of which is absolutely the Chief Justice's naivete. And you hit the nail on the head when you posted this quote from him. This is John Roberts, writing for the majority in McCutcheon versus FEC. Quote, spending large sums of money in connection with elections, but not in connection with an effort to control the exercise of an officeholder's official duties, does not give rise to such quid pro quo corruption, nor does the possibility that an individual who spends large sums may garner, quote, influence over or access to elected officials or political parties. Basically, he's saying, well, no.
That's an astonishing quote.
It's
as I said at the banter, either the naivete of Roberts himself or the naivete he believes we possess, that we're willing to take that kind of crap. We're willing to actually go, he's right, and not, you know, accept that giant load of bullshit. That's just incredible to me.
But it's really not about a guy who donates millions of dollars to a campaign and then goes to them afterwards and says, now you got to do me some favors, buddy.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
The idea of spending a ton of money on a campaign is that the favor is implied.
Yeah.
You know, look, you're enjoying my largesse, and you know, there what's the Godfather? There may come a time when I call on you.
Right. Well, the money is the asking of the favor.
Exactly. Very well put. Yes, the money is the again. Since this basically says that money talks, that's the way that it talks. Mm. It talks by look. You know what? Here, I'm giving you this, and what this is telling you, you know, there's the money talking. What this is telling you is, you know what? I'm going to expect a little something.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're like Mitch McConnell and you're running for re-election, and Exxon donates the maximum amount allowable by the FEC. Are you going to vote in favor of Exxon if that comes up, or against Exxon? Obviously, you're going to vote. You don't need Exxon to come to you and say, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, here's a bunch of money, do me this favor. No, it doesn't happen that way. They automatically act according to the kind of money they receive.
Right. That's it. It's the money is a symbol of a relationship.
Yeah. And certainly giving $5 here or there in small donations as an individual is not going to gain you the same pull as a major corporation now right. giving unlimited amounts of money over a 2-year cycle.
It's like that whole, what is the sort of Japanese business tradition where it's, I don't remind you, I shouldn't have to remind you of your debt to me. You should be aware of it. That's what
exactly,
it is. It's like we get, you know what this money represents. Mm-hmm. I don't have to remind you.
Yeah. So now this $2,600 per election limit is just a joke.
Yeah.
Because all
it's,
they have
it's,
to do
is... It's, 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 Yeah, that's a good, yeah, that's a perfect word. It's a joke. Yeah. It's absolute nonsense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's funny is that remains. That limit remains. You can only, as an individual, donate $2,600 per election to a candidate. But now, over a two-year span, you can donate $2,600 over and over and over and over again until you run out of money, ostensibly.
Right.
Because what they did is they struck down the two-year ceiling. That was originally $48,000 for federal candidates, $74,000, I think, for political committees, and something like $4,600 or $4,800 for state and local party committees. Now, that's all gone. It's all about the aggregate amount. There are aggregate limits that were set over a two-year cycle. Those are gone now. There's no more ceiling. You can just pump and pump and pump, but in small little $2,600 increments, or $32,000 per year for a national party committee and $10,000 for a local party.
Right.
Something like that. It's all in the weeds. I mean, of the details of it, when and how, but that's how they get away with it. Because there's all these, back doors and loopholes for now donating. And now, the door is wide open as much as you want. I mean, all you really need to know about this decision is that now corporations, very, very wealthy people, can just pump money in an endless stream into all levels of politics without restrictions.
Right.
It's very, very, very bad news. Very, very disturbing news. After we come back from a break, I've got a, kind of a revealing flashback quote from your friend and mine, Glenn Greenwald, regarding Citizens United. Just by way of a reminder.
Right.
Of who the champion of progressivism really is, what he has to say about this particular issue. It was like the intelligence community donating unlimited amounts of money to candidates. Maybe that might be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Right, precisely.
Plus, we're going to talk about, Rand Paul. Rand Paul talking about tax cheats this week.
Oh, boy.
Very, very funny quote. We're going to get into it about Obamacare and all of the crazy things, plus all the positive things that have happened over the last several days. I got to tell you, we're going to save the Colbert stuff for the after party.
That'll be a good idea.
There are some new developments that have come up. Obviously, we have to talk about it.
When you say new developments, do you mean new developments or just new people who have chimed in with pieces?
New people who have chimed in.
Yeah, exactly. More think pieces. Yeah, I've read a couple of them over the past maybe 24 hours, and I can't. Your description is the best I can think of. It's madness. It's like the whole world has gone mad.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I mean, the fact now that we're explaining jokes, that just drives me nuts. I said on the Stephanie Miller show the other day, the least funny thing you can do in the world, even if you're a comedian, is to explain comedy, is to talk about comedy.
Right. Right. There is nothing worse than an unfunny person explaining to a funny person why something isn't funny or what would be funny.
Yes, because then
there's nothing worse than that.
It starts to sound like serious Jerry Lewis. Like on the telethons when he would start talking about how great it was in the old days and how funny everybody was and exactly why it was that way. It's just so maudlin and boring and stupid.
And it's Lieutenant Steve.
It's Lieutenant Steve. Exactly.
I'm funny.
Got to take a quick break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Level 42. I love this song.
Level 42, World Machine, one of the best albums of the 80s.
It really
is. Really good record. First of all, Mark King is an amazing bass player. Amazing.
I was just going to say that.
Astonishing bass player.
My instrument of choice is the bass. I've always played bass. And I wish I could play bass like that guy.
Yeah, he's incredible. He is the work that he did on the stuff he did on Nick Kershaw's The Riddle album, which is just like, oh my god. But yeah, I loved World Machine. I thought that was such a great album from start to finish.
And the production value, I was dubbing this song down to include in my buttons here, and I was marveling at the production value of this album that came out 30 years ago.
Yeah, it does sound good.
Sounds really good, especially, yeah. You know, up against a lot of the other songs from the early, mid-80s that sounded really thin and kind of tinny. And I think it's that's because these guys were real musicians.
They were, yeah. Yeah, I saw them live back in, like 88 probably.
Yeah.
And they were great. They were, I saw them in a small club in Miami, and they're fantastic.
So here's let's rewind back. Let's set the Wayback Machine to January 2010.
Sherman and Mr. Peabody.
This is right.
I can never, ever hear that again without laughing.
Here's Glenn Greenwald writing in Salon about the Citizens United decision. This is right after Citizens United was handed down. Quote, I tend to take a more absolutist view of the First Amendment than many people, but laws which prohibit organized groups of people, which is what corporations are, from expressing political views goes right to the heart of free speech guarantees, no matter how the First Amendment is understood. Does anyone doubt that the facts that gave rise to this case, namely the government's banning of the release of a critical film about Hillary Clinton by Citizens United, is exactly what the First Amendment was designed to avoid? And does anyone doubt that the First Amendment bars the government from restricting the speech of organizations composed of like-minded citizens who band together in corporate form to work for a particular cause?
Right. Well, look, he looks at, like, everything else with his, you know, filtered through his Aspergerian lens. He looks at the law as math.
Yeah.
It's everything is black and white. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you don't worry about the after effects of something. You don't worry about the actual consequences. And Greenwald has positioned himself so he never has to feel any of the consequences.
Yeah.
He doesn't live in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, he might not be conceding that a corporation is a person, but he's conceding that a corporation is made up of a group of people advocating for a particular view or a law or policy. Right. And then they express that view by donating money to political campaigns. He says he's ambivalent about it, but you know where he comes down on this. He comes down right along with Jonathan Turley, where Citizens United was a positive thing for the First Amendment.
Right.
Bottom line. I mean, to me, as far as Glenn's views, especially from the past, go, I'm a lot more forgiving about things like his tacit support for the Iraq War, which he admits to in the book, one of his books.
Right.
People change their minds. People learn new information, and they shift and move in terms of where they come down on certain policies. And you know, I think that's part of being an intellectual, is you discover new things, and it's your prerogative to change your mind based on learning new things. I think that should never be stifled. This is, I mean, we're going back to January 2010 here, and this position he has not changed. He still stands by his Citizens United view.
Right.
So that's that. That's the hero of liberalism right there.
Whatever.
I don't know if you heard this story, but Rand Paul was basically defending a business that was that cheated on its taxes, Caterpillar specifically.
Caterpillar, like backhoe and bulldozers and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Caterpillar? All right.
An investigation by the Senate Investigation Subcommittee has found that Caterpillar Inc. avoided paying at least $2.4 billion in taxes since 2000 by transferring money to a shell corporation in Switzerland. Boy, that's familiar. According to libertarian boy wonder Rand Paul, this is Ashby writing on the blog. According to libertarian boy wonder Rand Paul, Caterpillar deserves an award for screwing average Americans. I think rather than having an inquisition, Rand Paul says, we should probably bring Caterpillar here and give them an award, Paul said. You know, they've been in business for over 100 years. It's not easy to stay in business. It's a lot easier if you're stashing $2.4 billion in a Swiss bank account.
Right.
It's a requirement that you try to minimize your costs. So rather than chastising Caterpillar, we should be complimenting them.
Pat it on the back for his ingenuity.
Yeah.
That's pretty that's the American way. The American way is being ingenious and hiding money offshore so that, you know, you don't have to pay taxes. That's some go-getterness right there.
Yeah, the American way can be found in a Swiss bank account, which makes a lot of sense. The American way can be found in manufacturing goods and services in China. That's the American way. It's just really, really sad. So moving on, I guess we got to get into the ending of the open enrollment period. Have you purchased your Obamacare, Chez?
No, but I'm along in the process, which means that I've got my sort of grace period.
Oh, okay. So did you start the sign up process?
Yeah, as long as you've started the sign up and you've gone looking and you're comparing, then you're fine.
Well, it's good. I signed up last Friday. I'm officially for the first time since 2005, I am officially covered.
Who did you get?
I am, there were only two choices in the Hawaii Health Connector, and that was Kaiser Permanente or HMSA.
Yeah, I'm probably just going with a better version of Anthem.
Have you looked at the Kaiser plans yet?
I glanced over them. I mean, I'm still trying. I got to be honest about this. For the most part, like, my experience with one of the great things about working at an actual company for me, here's my issue. I'm bad at working for a company because I'm an asshole and I'm very difficult to get along with. And I mean, that's not necessarily true, but I can be when I want something, I want it done my way, and I can be a real pain in the ass about that. That makes it difficult. So in that sense, I'm really great at working for myself. The good thing about me working for a big company is that they take care of stuff that I'm too stupid to be able to do on my own. You know, I never had to worry about things like taxes being taken out. I never had to worry when I worked for a company about signing up for health insurance, because, oh, just sign on this dotted line and here it's all, oh, okay, well, I can do that. You know, I'm a moron. I'm an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
I can't do anything on my own.
And signing up for healthcare is not the simplest thing in the world. I mean, it is complicated. I mean,
that's what I'm doing. I'm going through the process of like, what in the hell does all of this mean?
Well, I'm going to detail sort of my experience signing up last week. After a break, we'll be back right after this.
He spent years pushing the corporate suits, their rules, and their laws to the edge. Wait till you hear what he's like when he makes his own rules. The Don Geronimo Show.
Discounted yearly subscription still available. Also available in quarterly or monthly packages. And I'll see you there. The Don Geronimo Show. Tomorrow and every Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, live right here on the Realm Network.
Oi, Tessie, my heart. You have to move to a place with an elevator.
So, not even a hello?
I have to tell you, Bubbler, you saved me.
What are you talking about, Bernice? You're talking like a mashugana.
From the heavens you came, I tell you. Mark and Buffy are hosting the Passover Seder this year.
Oy, a shiksa Pesach. What's she serving? Cucumber sandwiches with a crust cut off?
Just don't eat a crepla. Anyway, I had no idea what to bring them and the kids. And then I remembered you telling me all about Bubble Genius. I found this Afi Komen wrapped matzo.
Oh my god, how wonderful! And a little education for Buffy in the bargain.
And they can't complain. It'll get the kids in the tub, no problem.
Well, I don't want to say I told you so, but, you know.
We got you covered.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
We got you covered.
Yeah, they're going to be running those things for like the next 8 years.
Your promo code for BubbleGenius.com for all of your bath and body needs is Bob and Chez. When you go to check out at BubbleGenius.com, type in Bob and Chez, BOBANDCHEZ, and you get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com. So I sat down, I believe it was last Friday, to set up my health insurance. I've been really debating over which policy to sign up for since October. I mean, since late October when they finally got the Hawaii Health Connector set up. And so,
are your premiums good?
My premiums are outstanding. I mean,
yeah,
I was
good for you.
The most shocking thing about the process was there wasn't a single damn question about medical history, injuries, any sort of pre-existing conditions. None of that. In fact, it was the most basic questions you can imagine. Do you smoke? How old are you? You know, what's your birthday? Where do you live? What's your address? And that's it. And that was all of it. The number of people who are going to be insured under the plan, which is just one. My wife gets insurance through her work. Right. So, and this, by the way, I could have signed up for insurance with my wife's policy it would have cost me $600 a month to do it. And I still would have been covered by the same people, Kaiser Permanente. And it would have been an old pre-ACA insurance policy. So who wants that? So I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the exchange for this state, and I'm going to sign up that way. I ended up getting what's called the Kaiser Permanente Silver One B-Fit $30 is what it says. That's the title of it. I don't know what the $30 necessarily stands for. But it's the deductible or the premium every month is $197.
It's really good.
$197. And, you know, the best benefits about this are all...
You're very lucky. Mine is not going to be anywhere near that because I have prescription issues. I have to constantly be getting prescriptions.
Well, I guess then you would get a policy that covered more on the prescription side.
Yeah.
But this Kaiser...
I mean, I'm still going through all this crap, so we'll see. And also, where I live, for some reason, is incredibly expensive.
Well, yeah, that's probably part
LA,
of it.
Yeah, LA's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, this policy for $197 a month regarding prescriptions, there is no deductible on prescriptions, and the actual purchasing of the prescriptions is a 50% co-insurance. So if I had a prescription medication, I would only pay half price of the actual cost of the prescription, which is great. There's a $1,000 deductible, which is low. This law made it so that if I have to have brain surgery next week, which, well, you had brain surgery, you must know how much it costs. What, $100,000, $200,000?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, when I say that, I mean it was all covered. I mean, with the exception of a couple grand.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean, if I had a medical procedure next week that cost $200,000, the most I would have to pay out of pocket, the absolute maximum, $6,300. And you know what that allows you to do? To know that's the maximum out-of-pocket limit, is that you can set aside money. You can save and plan by putting that money aside. So that if something happens, you can rest assured knowing you're not going to have to pay any more than $6,300 in a given cycle.
Right. No, I get it. I mean, and that's what I'm going to have to wind up doing.
But that's part of Obamacare. That's part of the law. That's one of the regulations established by the law, that all of these health insurance companies, Kaiser Permanente, private health insurance company. It's not government run. But they have certain rules now that they can't break.
Right.
Visit a healthcare provider's office or a clinic. That's a $30 copay. Specialist visit, $40 copay. Preventative care, screening, immunization, no charge. Free of charge. Diagnostic tests like x-rays or blood work, $30 copay. Generic drugs, $15 copay. $15 copay. Mail order, $30 copay. Preferred brand drugs, that would be some of the, I assume some of the medications you have, 50% co-insurance. So basically you get a 50% discount, as I said. Specialty drugs, 50% copay or co-insurance. That's pretty damn great. I mean, urgent care, 20% co-insurance, emergency room visits, $250 copay after deductible. I mean, again, this is only $197 premium a month. This is the highest silver level that Kaiser offers in this state. Also covers, other covered services, bariatric surgery, which I probably won't need anytime soon, hearing aids, infertility treatment is covered, routine eye exam, routine hearing tests. Also covered. This is a pretty big deal. This is something that I would never be able to buy prior to the passage of this law. I would just completely be disqualified from doing any of it. So we're going to talk about some of the myths that have come up recently, especially now all the Republicans are trying to unskew the enrollment numbers. We're going to get into that after a break, back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yep. The song remains the same. is my favorite Led Zeppelin song.
Your favorite album?
No, my favorite song. My favorite Led Zeppelin song. It's mainly because of this intro. I just love the the nature of that intro. I love the nature of it. I don't know why.
It's you grok the nature.
I grok the nature. Okay, so as of Monday night, surveys has shown, and these are independent surveys, have shown that 9.5 million Americans are signed up for a new insurance plan through the Affordable Care Act, whether it's the healthcare.gov site, which all of the red state people have to sign up for through, or the state exchanges, or the Medicaid expansion. And that's a lot of people. That defies the goals set by the administration of 7 million. And the administration themselves said that goal was reached. They reached 7 million. Which now the Republicans are trying to unskew. There are now Obamacare truthers.
Of course there are.
I mean, this is just absolutely remarkable. The inability to grasp on to anything that you can actually criticize about the law. Doing so would actually put you in a position where you would want to improve the law. So therefore, they need to come up with things that are just bullshit. Because then what they want to do is make it seem like the law isn't working at all, that it's being run by corrupt people, and therefore it should be repealed and replaced. Sean Hannity says, quote, they're cooking the books on this thing. Millions of Obamacare applicants appeared out of thin air. He accused the White House of cooking the books in his attacks on the health care law. Fox's The Five questioned how magically they hit the number, quote unquote. In the March 31st edition of Fox News, The Five, co-hosts Kimberly Guilfoyle and Eric Bolling touted Senator John Barrasso's claim that the administration is cooking the books, there it is again, while mocking the White House claim that 6 million Americans have already enrolled. I think it's pronounced Guilfoyle. Is it Guilfoyle?
Guilfoyle? I don't know.
Kimberly
Guilfoyle.
Rush Limbaugh said, quote, when have they not lied about Obamacare? Why should anybody believe it? Why can't the government prove it?
This is what makes me want to just bury my head, like just unplug completely. Yeah. This is where we are. We are now in a place where so many people have microphones and so many people have, you know, so many people have audiences and you can, you know, every idiot can transmit a message to every other idiot that, yeah, you know what, just misinformation and that's all it is. Nothing is believed anymore.
Yeah.
There is this entire cycle, this cottage industry over not believing anything that someone who is your supposed adversary says.
Right. And as soon as they were to release the proof, if they were to release the evidence of how many people signed up, it wouldn't matter. It would be like the whole birth certificate bullshit.
Exactly. That's it. You win simply by making an argument. That's all.
And of course,
you're not required to prove it. You're just, all you have to do is bring it up. That's all.
And everyone believes it. Everyone goes right along with it because Sean Hannity said so. And because Eric Bolling and Kimberly Guilfoyle said so on Fox News. From a position of authority. So therefore, it must be true. And any evidence that's produced to back it up is also a lie, is also in and on. It's like the long-form birth certificate thing. It's like, oh, well, that's a certificate of live birth.
Right.
That can't possibly be the actual birth certificate. So doesn't matter. What really actually should matter to these people is that, you know, this independent study found a whole lot more people signed up than what the government is actually saying. So the government might actually be lowballing this.
Yep.
Some studies have put it up more around the lines of 12 million. I've seen numbers up to 12 million. But there was actually this one survey that said, 9.5 million people? Last night, Jimmy Fallon said, well, what a big surprise that is. People are required to do it. They went and signed up in droves. Well, it's mandatory. Ha 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 ha. I hate Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, don't even bother. It dawned on me that all Jimmy Fallon does, Jimmy Fallon is a less incisive Family Guy episode. Everything he does is a desire to remind you of something else, nostalgia.
Right.
His entire show is about nostalgia.
So let's see who else. Charles Krauthammer said that the ACA enrollment figure is a phony number. Jesse Waters, the guy who stalks and accosts people while they're getting getting
O'Reilly's little Renfield.
Yeah, exactly. O'Reilly's little stalker said that the White House is straight up lying about these numbers.
Of course it is.
Yeah. This is basically all of Fox News Channel thinks the president is lying about it. So you can count on the unskewing. I came up with a formula that if they actually take the total number of people who were supposed to be insured, they subtract the number of people who got insured, and then if you throw in a bunch of Rasmussen numbers, just random Rasmussen numbers, then you get the actual number of people who have insurance now under the ACA. That's how you unskew it. There's some sort of formula being invented for how to come up with the actual numbers for the Affordable Care Act. Okay, so moving on. This was my favorite story of the week, and this comes to us from the fine folks at Hobby Lobby.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this, but I mean,
is it the thing that you wrote about? I mean, I know about Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, this is a detail about Hobby Lobby's hypocrisy. A few weeks ago, we learned that Hobby Lobby was importing all of their merchandise from China, which offers universal state-funded abortion on demand. For whatever reason you need an abortion, China's going to pay for it. And Hobby Lobby's getting all their merchandise from China.
Sure.
Right? While criticizing the Affordable Care Act's contraception mandate, that all insurance policies have to cover contraception, including emergency contraception. And the forms of emergency contraception, by the way, are all contraception that stops ovulation, not implantation. So it's not abortion. We'll make that perfectly clear for the thousandth time. But yesterday we learned that Hobby Lobby offers its employees a 401k retirement plan that happens to invest $73 million in pharmaceutical companies that develop and produce various forms of, yes, contraception.
They don't care, though.
According to Mother Jones, the companies include Bayer, Pfizer, Teva Pharmaceutical Industries, and the contraceptives include pills, emergency contraception, IUDs, and, yes, actual abortion drugs, right? These companies include the manufacturers of Plan B and Paragard, a copper IUD, and Activis, which makes a generic version of Plan B and distributes Ella. Other holdings in the mutual funds selected by Hobby Lobby include Pfizer, the maker of Cytotec, and Prostin E2, which are used to induce abortions. Bayer, which manufactures the hormonal IUDs Skyla and Marina. AstraZeneca, which has an Indian subsidiary that manufactures Prostadin, Servoprime, and Partoken, or Partosin.
And Gifoil.
Gifoil, yeah. I thought I was going to make it through this quote and get every nail, every single pronunciation.
I love how your pronunciation of Gifoil is basically Andrew Dice Clay.
Gifoil. Three drugs commonly used in abortions are those drugs right there. And Forest Laboratories, which makes Cervidil, a drug used to induce abortions.
Three drugs commonly used in abortion. The worst Jeopardy question ever.
Oh, my God. Several funds in the Hobby Lobby retirement plan also invested in Aetna and Humana, two health insurance companies that cover surgical abortions, abortion drugs, and emergency contraception in many of the health care policies they sell. Whoops. That gets three Price is Right fail horns. So I went through, just I had some fun with the Hobby Lobby website and took some various Leviticus quotes from the Bible and found things on the Hobby Lobby website that violate a bunch of Leviticus quotes and one from Timothy, weirdly enough, Timothy 2:9, which forbids women from wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes.
Wow.
Hobby Lobby sells gold jewelry, by the way, on their website. Also, there's this. Here's this one I didn't know about. This Leviticus quote I didn't know about. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. And right there, it's just so weird. I mean,
I hate the Bible. It's so ridiculous. It's such a bunch of ridiculous crap. You can honestly hear that. I mean, you can see him just going, don't cut your beards at the edges. He turns and looks at the guy and goes, kind of shrugs, like, I don't know, why not? Sure. Put that in there.
Because why not?
Sure, okay.
Gafoyle! right there on the front page of the Hobby Lobby website, there's a picture of three very, very happy multiracial Hobby Lobby employees. The white guy on the right side of the picture has a goatee. That means he's trimmed his beard at the side, and a very roundy haircut. His hair is trimmed at the sides. So this guy's going to burn in hell, obviously, because of his hair.
Of course.
Yeah. And if you look at a picture of David Green, the CEO and founder of Hobby Lobby, he's got like the roundiest helmet hair I've ever seen. He's got like a big helmet of hair. Because one of the translations said that you're forbidden from rounding off the side growth of your hair, which God only knows what that means, literally.
Hmm.
There's also Leviticus 19:19. Do not wear clothing woven from two different kinds of thread.
Right. I know that only from President Bartlett.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is one we've talked about before. If you go to the Hobby Lobby website, you go to their fashion accessories area, they sell these sort of white trashy hats, baseball caps.
Yeah.
They're 60% cotton, 40% polyester. What? Whoops. That's two different kinds of threads in the same hat. Leviticus 11:7. Says, and the pig, though it has a divided hoof, does not chew the cud. It is unclean.
Who gives a crap?
And the pig.
Why? You know why? Because they lived in the year -12. That's why. Because they lived before there was actually recorded time. They know nothing. These people know nothing.
Yeah, this is a couple of guys writing up Leviticus. Hey, Leviticus, hey, come on over here. Let's try to F with them a little bit. Why don't we say they can't round off the sides of the hair? Yeah, it'll really look really stupid without rounding off the side of the hair, wouldn't it?
I love how we're talking about, like, you know, what's now the Middle East, and they talk like they're from Passaic.
Well, if everyone in the Middle East can talk with a British accent in
this
every
is true.
Single
yes,
movie,
every movie,
why not? Why not have them speak like they're from Passaic?
Right.
So Hobby Lobby sells a variety of pig items, including the flying pig's duct tape. Pink glass.
Flying pig. Every time I hear flying pig, all I think of is Kids in the Hall. Please tell me you've seen that sketch.
Yes.
The flying pig. Hey.
Pink glass pig charm, carved stack cow, pig, rabbit, and rooster, which is like a cow. It's like a sculpture with a cow with a pig standing on its back, a rabbit standing on the back of his pig, and a rooster standing on top of the rabbit. Whatever the F that is. And also something called a pig popper. All on the Hobby Lobby website.
That's something you can order at Guy Fieri's restaurant.
A pig popper.
It's on the app. That's on the appetizer menu. Pig poppers with Leviticus sauce.
We're bringing the heat with our pig poppers on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And douchebags. So before we wrap up the show, I've got a great clip of audio from Mr. Louie Gohmert.
Uh-huh.
Congressman from Texas, yeah. Louie Gohmert did a videotaped bit for Wingnut Daily, World Net Daily, in which he says that the separation of church and state means church plays a role in the state. In other words, you separate church and state, the church plays a role in the state. Does that make sense? Anybody? Here's Louie Gohmert talking about how they used to have church services in the old house chambers, which is now called Statuary Hall.
But I want to take you back to when this was
the
House
voice.
Of Representatives. There were desks in here for each representative.
This is a dramatic
but
music.
On Sundays, This became the largest non-denominational Christian church. Oh.
Do you think Louis Gohmert goes around with his own theme music? Like, he's standing there in Statuary Hall, and he's got this, like, this Glenn Gould piano music playing in the background.
In Washington, D.C. area, we had non-denominational speakers. People were selected from different faiths of Christianity.
By the way,
different faiths of Christianity.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of music, country and Western.
By the way, I didn't slow this down like the Neil deGrasse Tyson stoned tape. This is not slowed down at all. This is actually the way Louis Gohmert speaks. Really, really slowly.
Of course, because he's stupid and he's got that dumb Texas drawl.
Come in here and preach. People came in here and prayed. They sang hymns. They worshiped God. It was part of our history. Now, after the fire in 1814, there was a brief period where it was being repaired. But after the repair works, then church services resumed. Now, I had asked.
My God, you're right. He's like Suzanne Ciani is sitting behind him.
To do an objective, nonpartisan review of our history and tell me if the things that I had read and learned were backed up in their opinion. And when I got the report back, I glanced down and the first thing I saw was something like Madison didn't do this. And I thought Madison did come to church in here. But as I read the report, it talked about how President Thomas Jefferson, we're talking about the guy who coined the phrase separation of church.
What the hell is he talking about at this point?
Who said there should be a wall of separation between church and state. But it was to be a one-way wall where the...
It's supposed to be a one-way wall.
It's a one-way wall. What was the...
It's a one-way wall.
What was the classic Sarah Palin thing about the vice presidency?
It's position flexible.
Position flexible. Thank you. Yeah. One-way wall, position flexible.
It's a one-way wall. Physics by Louis Gohmert. You can have a wall of separation, but it's a one-way wall. Okay, Congressman? My
God.
How does that work exactly?
State would not dictate to the church.
What happened to the music? The music, the lovely piano music has stopped. Maybe I'll find some other music for you.
The church would certainly play a role in the state.
Let's see, here's some good music.
And so President Thomas Jefferson had a little different idea of what separation of church and state meant when he used it in his letter to the Danbury Baptist, because President Thomas Jefferson,
God, who cares,
came to church.
I cannot believe that it's the year 2014 and there are still people in this country, especially in positions of power, talking like this.
Yeah.
This is by any measure of logic and reason, this is insanity.
It is. It's a complete misinterpretation of the Establishment Clause, is exactly what this is. You know, and saying a thing like it's a one-way wall. What does that even mean? The wall has two sides. You can go over it either way. That's what a wall is. And by the way, having church services in the House chamber was unconstitutional. You know, Thomas Jefferson, he may have gone to services there, even though he was a deist. But Thomas Jefferson also owned slaves, for God's sake.
Yep.
These aren't marble men. These aren't flawless men. These are very flawed men who happened to come up with a really great idea one time. But the whole idea...
No, they're Jesus.
By welcoming Christianity into secular law, the secular lawmakers have to establish the validity of that religious belief. That's Establishment Clause. Congress welcomed Christian services into the old House chamber. That's a violation of the Establishment Clause. Duh. You never explain that to Louis Gohmert, who thinks that there is such a thing as a one-way wall. Okay, so coming up on the after party, which will be, by the way, we're doing the show on Wednesday again this week. We'll be back to Thursdays next week, I think. But the after party will continue to be on Friday. Yeah, we're going to get into the Colbert thing, the cancel Colbert nonsense. I've got one leftover story from my trip to the Bay Area. This is going to be it's going to be in the form of a question for Chez, one of those mind-bending questions. Also, a little something about my appearance on the Stephanie Miller Show this week. And some movie news that's all coming up on the after party. That's $6 a week, or $6 a month. Cancel on any time. Sign up at BobSeska.com. Why don't you? See you next week, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.